A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Today's daf, Shabbos Kuf Lamed Hey, 135a, pagination, page 269. However, I would like to read just a few words from a previous page, which will be the intro to today's daf. So I am starting on Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel, 133a, four lines from the bottom, pagination, page 265. If you just turn back two pages, the Mishnah there on the bottom of the page states, Osim kol tzorchei mila, you do all the needs of mila, b'Shabbos, on Shabbos. What are the needs of mila? Mohalin, to do the cut, the mila, which is commonly referred to as circumcision, uporim, and then they uncover the top of the organ. There's a thin membrane underneath that you have to break its elasticity. You got to pull that back. Umotitzin, and then they suck. They cause a sucking action which gets the blood to flow. And as we've heard, there's a lot of discussion of the correct way to do that in our times. Fear of infection, disease, whether from the child or from the moel, there's discussion if it is truly worthy of concern or not, remains a viable discussion. Discuss it with your mentor. But there are, on a practical level, two ways to do that. One is personal sucking, and the other method is using a tube with a gauze inside of it so that the sucking action occurs, but the blood never reaches contact between the moel and the child. But these are the three steps of mila: moalim, the circumcision, porin, to uncover, and motzitzin, the sucking circulation action. Now, in our times, and it's been like this for a while, the typical method of doing the mila is using a mugain, a shield, in which most of the work is done by the moel before he actually uses the surgical instrument, because he pulls the foreskin through the shield, and the actual act of mila, the art has already almost been done, the actual act of mila is simply running the surgical instrument along the shield, and only what's the skin that's protruding is going to be cut, to the point that many moalim allow the father to do the mila, even though the father has no experience, but he lines it up perfectly, then the shield is there. You follow instructions, and you could do that part, and obviously the moel does everything before the shield and the cut, and he does everything afterwards to bandage, but the actual cut could possibly be done by someone less experienced, trained. Thank you. It's interesting to note that the word circumcision comes from a circular cut. Circa, as in circumference, and incision. But again, the way we do it, you could almost not even notice that it's a circumcision, that it's a circular cut. It looks like it's a straight cut based on what he positions to protrude through the shield. The question that we'd like to address today, Kuf Lamed Hey Yomer Aleph 135a, is the question of a nolad mahul, a child that appears to have been born without a foreskin. And the Gemara here mentions that arloso, the foreskin, you would cut it even on Shabbos, except in a number of cases. Starting from the middle of the fifth line down, v'lo nolad bein hashmashos doches haShabbos, a child that's born between the watches, at a time when it's not quite night, we're not sure which day it is, so that child would not be done on Shabbos, because there's doubt which day is truly the eighth day. I had a friend whose wife was in labor, Bein Hashmashos, between the watches, just after sunset, but before it was definitively night. And he was paying attention to the clock so that they announced the birth time, he would know and later ask the poskim whether the milah should be on Shabbos or not be on Shabbos. And of course, Mazel Tov, it's a girl, and his timing and calibrated watch was not really relevant. But that's one instance that does not override Shabbos, because we're not sure if it's really the eighth day, and you would simply wait for Sunday. The next case, v'lo nolad kishahu mahul, and not a child who was born when where it appears that he's already circumcised. The foreskin is not there. That's how it appears. Beishamei omrim tzarech latif mimenu dam bris. You have to do something to remove blood, because that's the blood of the covenant. But obviously, it's not going to be the removal of the foreskin if there is none. You skip down two lines. The Gemara says, Lo nachluku beishamei veisela, beishamei and beiselel are in agreement. No lad kishuhu mol shetzarech latif mimenu dam bris, that you would have to remove a token amount of blood. It's a pinprick, just a token. It should show up, let's say, on a gauze, on a tissue. It should show up that red, and you know that the blood of covenant has been taken out. And the reason is mipnei she'orla kivushahi, because it is a foreskin. There is a foreskin there. It's too dangerous to remove it because it's embedded. It's like we describe an ingrown toenail, so to speak. It's ingrown. It's either captured or immersed, but it's totally at one with the skin, and you can't, as you typically would, just probe your way in and lift it out. And therefore, the best you can do is take out a token amount of blood from that location. Amash nechleku, where was their argument? Al ger sheniskayer kishuhu mal, a convert coming into Judaism, and he's already circumcised, which kigon aravi mahul, Rashi says. For example, Arabs that have the custom to do circumcision. So by the time he came to us as an adult, even though Mila is typically part of the conversion process, over here there is none. So what do you do? So in that case, there's a requirement of tzarech lahatif mimenu dam bris. You would remove a token amount, literally a pinprick, if in fact there is no foreskin.
The blood being removed, how is being incision made?
It's a pinprick. There's not going to be any incision, really. We wouldn't call it an incision. It's going to be a pinprick. To remove a drop of blood. It's blood of covenant. But you can't make an incision unless you have something that you're intending to cut. And there's nothing to cut, because then you would do damage. And that you're not allowed to do. So it ends up being blood of covenant. It's simply removal of a token amount of blood. And literally what they do is the person barely or doesn't feel it at all. It's such a thin thing. Touch it, and as long as the gauze shows up that some blood was removed, that satisfies the requirement. Now there's an interesting discussion. Where exactly should this pinprick, so to speak, be done? Should it be done where the foreskin emerges, where normally there would be a foreskin? That's where the cutting would really be taking place. Or should it be done on the top of the organ, which is where the foreskin would be covering? And there's an interesting solution, mediation between these two approaches, which says that if your concern is orla kivusha, that the person was born seemingly without a foreskin, nolad maul, and you're telling me it's orla kivusha, that really there's something there, but it's embedded into the skin and there's nothing we can do safely, so then the correct place to remove the blood would be where the foreskin is, at the top of the organ. But if you're dealing with a case where the foreskin was removed earlier in life, so then you're not concerned that there's anything there. You're just looking to remove blood because it's the blood of covenant. It's a ritual thing. So then that pinprick would be done where the foreskin emerges from the organ, because that's the location where normally the incision would be done. And you have two different assessments. Some Mo'alim will do both. It's literally, it's a pinprick. It's no big deal. And others maintain specifically that it's only by Orla Kavusha, by the hidden foreskin, that you do it on the top of the organ. But if the foreskin is known to be missing, then you do it where the foreskin normally emerges, because that's the place where the circumcision would normally take place. Let's drop down to the middle of the page. The first word on the line is Elazar, as in Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And then we continue Rav Ada bar Ava with a quick story. This rabbi, Yisyalid le'ahu yinuka kishuhu mol, he had a child that was born seemingly already circumcised. The concern, of course, is that really there is a foreskin or something there, but it's embedded in the regular skin. Ahadre, he approached Atlesa Moali, 13 Moalim, whether that's literal or a figurative wording is irrelevant to us, but he went to many Moalim, and none of them wanted to do the Mila. They didn't want to do the Mila because it was Shabbos, but it definitely needs an expert Moel. Adeshavya Kirush Shofcha, until Rav Ada bar Ava, in his passion for the mitzvah and his diligence, he ended up doing it himself, and he did damage. Rashi's word, chotach min agid. He took off some skin that was not supposed to be taken off. Omar, he said afterwards, Taisili, I had this tragedy coming to me. In other words, I did wrong. The avri ad rav, because I violated the words of Rav, who say that you don't even have to take out a token amount of blood. But this is the discussion. I mentioned the story because, again, this is classic, like we had yesterday, where you asked me, isn't there a tradition how to handle difficult situations? I believe there is a tradition how to handle difficult situations. But if you're not a trained Moel and you end up going forward with the Mila because you're Jewish and every Jewish person is an expert in everything you know, it's absurd. That's an absurd attitude. You can't be a shochet without training. You can't be a rabbi without training. You know, even if you've read art school, forgive me. And you can't be a mayor without training. And even the Gemara records, Rav Ada bar Ava, he ended up doing damage as a result. And for sure, the correct approach is that only a person who's certified, who has done numerous times Mila under a mentor, would be authorized to do it, not only for the skill, but also for the knowledge of unusual cases. Yashar Koach, have a great day.